Episode of the commercial break.
Paying for it.
Yeah, pay.
Paying for it. I don't understand.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're going to strip yourself down of all worldly possessions.
Tin pack of glasses.
Yeah, and then you're going to do $35.95 per class. Right. And you know the yoga instructor is so much hotter than you are. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go to a class where some fucking buffed up dude is doing naked yoga. And Astrid's like, I'll face this way.
Right.
You face that way. No.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast and streaming audience. Thanks for joining us on episode 2 of season number 7. It's number 7. We already got some people
Lucky
in the chat.
Number 7.
Hi, how are you doing? Welcome back. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Our streaming numbers are breaking servers.
Yes, we're up to 3?
7.
Oh, yeah, okay.
7. Anyway, we're just starting this. If you're joining us via the streaming, welcome aboard. If you're not, you can check us out Tuesdays and Thursdays, somewhere around 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Give or take.
Give or take. We went right at 1 o'clock today.
Did.
I'm so proud of us.
Me
we
too.
Did it.
Cheers.
We did it. And then, of course, more people saying they're going to make us popular by giving us fake streams. So thank you very much. We'll talk to you about that later.
Yeah, that's so funny how those bots do that.
Yeah, the bots come right on, don't they? Yeah, well, welcome to the world of podcasting and streaming. That's how it works. Whether you want it or not, you're going to get trash. So over the vacation, Chrissy and I were reading an article about naked yoga taking hold across the United States.
Yes.
And there is a picture that just, a picture tells a thousand words, doesn't it?
It's hilarious. I mean, I love the start of this article, too. Picture it. You're completely nude, surrounded by strangers, and downward dog.
Downward dog.
This isn't some feverish anxiety dream. You're in the middle of a naked yoga class.
Downward dog means upward asshole. That's what it means.
Yeah, I mean.
It means the sun don't shine.
I'm all for, look, everybody is beautiful
and
in their own way.
To somebody.
To somebody.
Somebody.
And yes, and, you know, I don't think we should be ashamed of being naked.
No.
If that's what you want to do. I just don't know that I want to see everybody in naked yoga positions.
I definitely don't. Listen, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? And so I don't think we should be ashamed of our bodies. And I'm not telling. Here's why I want to piggy front off of this story. First of all, it's a very interesting lesson to teach your children as they get older about body like the appropriate times, places, mm-hmm. and people to show your body to,
yes.
right? That's a very interesting lesson. You want to like do a little dance there. You don't want them to be ashamed of their body, but at the same time, like, you know, there's just some places to show your penis and other places when it's not appropriate.
Right.
Like when you're serving chili for dinner,
right.
you know, a naked fling flang. swinging around the kitchen ain't appropriate. I don't do it. You shouldn't do it. Yeah. Follow your daddy's rules. Only see yourself naked in the dark in the shower. So, over the vacation, we got to celebrate the 25th wedding anniversary of Rafa and Chelsea.
Oh my God, it was their 25th?
25th wow. wedding anniversary. A lot of people, we are going to make, by the way, we are not unaware of what is going on in the United States and around the world right now. We are choosing to ignore it
yes.
so that we can give you a laugh. So
and ourselves.
There's going to be no talk of Venezuela, health insurance, mm-hmm. Minnesota, none of that shit. Not today, okay? We'll yeah. give it a break. We all need a break, so let's give it a break. But I am sharing that a lot of people ask, why are you so entwangled with Venezuela? And Rafael yeah. is really the reason why. Rafael is a Venezuelan.
He gave you your intro.
He gave me my street cred mm-hmm. with Venezuelans because he introduced me to – he was the first Venezuelan that I actually knew. And that I didn't know anything about Venezuela before I met Rafael.
Right.
But quickly became a part of his big family. Rafael's been my best friend for 30 years mm-hmm. almost. And a couple of years after we met, he met his wife at the restaurant we worked at,
That's
Chelsea.
Right. Yes.
Chelsea and Rafael married. They had a baby very quickly. And a love story. A great love story
they
that
are
continues
a great
to this day.
Love story. I love those two so much.
So we had their 25th wedding anniversary, very intimate dinner.
How
and
fun.
I'll get back to naked yoga, but follow me here for a second.
Well,
yeah.
I'll know.
There you go. Okay. I'll follow you.
There's
follow
a circle
me.
Of people.
Follow the bouncing ball.
Yes.
Yeah, naked yoga is not new to some of us.
Right.
Let's just put it that way. I think I might know the guy who started naked yoga. I think his name is Rafael. So we get invited a couple of weeks ahead of time to an intimate dinner at another friend of ours' house, Ben and Sidra.
All right.
They ask us to come over. There's going to be a private chef and all the accoutrements.
Nice.
Right now, when you think of private chef, you go, oh, wow, very nice.
Right.
But if you actually go to a dinner with a private chef, you know that sometimes the idea of private chef and the reality of private chef are two totally different things. Let me explain.
Yes, please. I can't wait.
Imagine it from the chef's point of view. You're in a home kitchen mm-hmm. that has none of the things you usually have. You have to bring everything that you need, probably pre-cooked most of it. You're limited. If something goes wrong, you're limited in what can happen. So
True.
Usually what ends up happening with a private chef who is not used to working in a home setting, and this is like a restaurant chef, like a well-known
okay.
restaurant chef.
Yeah.
That one of our friends knows, because one of our friends like owns restaurants. And so he brought in this
That's
chef.
That's right.
And this is like a big deal for us to have this chef here, but I'm thinking, I'm telling Astrid on the way down there, you know, Brian's normal curmudgeon self. I'm like, this is going to be a shit dinner. I'm telling you that right now. There's going to be five different cold plates and one thing that's hot that was cooked 12 hours ago. It's going to be reheated in some shitty oven. But it was the exact opposite. The chef fucking nailed it.
Nice.
He nailed it. 7-course dinner plus dessert. So 8 courses all together.
Ooh.
However, because the chef nailed it and did everything on the spot, it was an hour in between each course.
Oh, right.
We got there at 7 and we left before the dessert, and we left at like 12:30 at night.
Oh, wow.
We left before the dessert was served. 40 minutes between each. So it was a long dinner, but that left a lot of room for stories, drinking.
Yeah.
Having fun. And this group of people is not, you know, we've known each other for years. Mm-hmm. And so no one's shy to you know, bust balls and have fun and do this. And so I told the, you know, I gave a toast. You know, we went around, we gave a toast. I gave a toast. It was a mix of heartfelt and comedy, you know, all the other stuff. You know, I can talk, right? That's what I do. I can talk. Somebody asked me to give a toast.
Yes.
I'll give a toast.
Yeah. You do a great job.
And I'll do it on the fly. I feel pretty comfortable when someone asks me to give a toast, especially if it's in a room full of people I know and I have
so
good stories.
That's a good gift.
It is. So I do this toast. But Rafael then, at the end of the meal, we're talking like 11:30, 12. Everyone's really loosey-goosey. Like, everyone's been lit up. We've all been sitting at this very long table for a very long time. And Rafael starts in on the story of how him and Chelsea met.
Okay.
So he shares the story like this, that they all got tickets to go see a band named Pussy Riot.
Oh, right. I remember that band.
I remember that band, too. Actually, Chopper Johnson opened up for Pussy Riot in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, one time. This is the same time I fell off the fucking stage. There was no one in the room. I mean, it was like we were one of 17 bands that opened up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like one really long night of music.
Oh,
and
okay.
We
okay.
were the first. It was not. There's no credit in that. That's not credit. So he tells a story about how a bunch of people got tickets to go, and then it ended up that everyone kind of fell out for whatever reason, and it ended up being him and Chelsea. And they got these, they were like in the crowd making out, and people were kind of like, you know, poking them like, hey, go get a room, blah, blah, blah. And the girl who led the band recognized what was going on and threw some hats to them and said, hey, you do your thing, you know, and the thing said, pussy posse. So here they
are. Perfect.
Yes. So after the end of this like 45-minute long story that Rafa told, we were all like busting his balls along the way. And I'm thinking, man, this is one long fucking drawn out story. Like, you know, it's fun, but you know, wow, Raphael, you've been going for a while. He pulls out a ring that he had had the original diamond that he had given Chelsea reset in this beautiful ring. And
wow.
It was a touching moment. And that, then I could understand why.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So at the end of it,
Rafa.
So after
good
I,
job, Rafa.
Yeah. So after everyone does their ohms and ahs and congratulations and hugs and kisses and all that, I go, I really thought you were going to pull out a pussy posse hat.
I thought when you were telling this story that that's what he was going to do too.
Yeah, I thought for sure.
Yeah, yeah, he still had it.
Oh my God. Everyone busts up laughing. But at the at sometime in the dinner, I tell this story about Raphael and Chelsea when they were first together.
First days of love.
Chelsea mm-hmm. was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were all very young and dumb and we didn't know shit from Shinola. None of our friends were married. None of them had children. You know, maybe the off person
they
had
went
children.
For it young and they have really lasted.
They have
I'm
lasted.
So proud of
I'm
them.
I'm so proud of them, too. I said in my toast is that. When,
naked yoga, yeah, it helps.
That's right. When you look at it, when you look at, you know, everybody has like people in their life that they look to for certain like archetypes.
Right.
You look at someone who's been successful in business, you say, I look to that person and how they conduct themselves mm-hmm. in business and in friendship and in love and in marriage and in child raising. And so Raphael and Chelsea are one of these people I think we all look up to and we say, if we could have a successful marriage, if we could look at each other like that 25 years later,
yeah.
then we've done something right. And so I shared that with him. But I also shared a story about how it's young days, it's early days, and not everybody is like convinced that this relationship is going to work.
Sure.
Right. And that either is jealousy or just being young, or maybe we just don't know. Right. Where yeah, everybody wants to cause drama. It's, and
that's
I can't
true.
Say that
yeah,
I get
well,
in the
like
frame.
Early 20s and Chelsea was actually what younger?
19,
than
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we go to this festival that we help put on called the Mountain Jam.
Was this the one with the
no.
golf cart?
No. This is a different one. Yes, there were golf carts at this one too, but this one was put on by T-Dog.
Oh, T-Dog.
T-Dog, mm-hmm. or early days T-Dog. It was very famous festival producer here in town. And for many years, he put on the Mountain Jam. And we're talking like a couple thousand people on this property. It's all of us, our cars parked for a couple of days. And we were helping to like, you know, set up stages and make sure that the trains run on time. It was, we weren't
basically,
actually.
So you could see the music and
yes,
do drugs.
That's right. So we could do drugs and
see the music.
Be behind stage
exactly.
and get free drugs.
Meet the bands.
Yes. And hopefully do more drugs and hopefully find the people who had good drugs. And it was all about drugs.
Right.
Is basically what it was. So we're out in this field. We're parked. There's a bunch of cars parked. And me and the guy who I had gone, it's me, my little brother Danny, and this guy who we had gone with, Eduardo.
Eduardo,
which is not his real name, but I don't know if he chooses to be on this podcast. I've mentioned him before. I'm mentioning him again. Eduardo. So we're all in Eduardo's Taurus. We're like sleeping.
Good old
Taurus. Yeah, the good old Taurus. We're either sleeping on the Taurus, in the Taurus, around the
they
Taurus.
They had the velvety seats. Though,
they did.
The soft
like
seats.
Yes, back when they made good cars,
yes.
And those Tauruses lasted forever. Yes, they were big and bulky.
Uh-huh.
And they,
my parents had one.
Yeah, everybody had one.
Yeah,
there was a Taurus. Every other car on the road in the '90s
so true.
Was a Taurus.
So true.
If you argue my point, go Google it. Ask AI. So we're here, and then Raphael and Chelsea are in their car someplace down the road, right? And someplace down in the field. We had been up all night doing we got parked next to a guy who had a can of nitrous oxide.
Oh, God.
Like a dentist can of nitrous oxide.
Oh, yeah, the real
and
stuff.
And Eduardo had been paying and making deals with this guy all night long, and Eduardo was wasted. I mean, his brain was fried. I had been working a little bit, so I wasn't so fried, and Danny was with me too. And so I'm sleeping somewhere around the car, on the car, in the car, I can't remember. And Danny comes over to me, my little brother, and he shakes me, and he goes, dude, is Raphael okay? I think something's wrong with Raphael. And I go, what? And he goes, I think something's wrong with Raphael, man. You got to come. And I'm like, well, oh, what's going on? I think they had just had the baby, and I got really concerned. And I woke up, and he goes, come here, look at this. And I go, and I crest to this hill, and there was like a VW old wagon with one of those camper tops on top of it. Yeah. So you could like stand on it, right? And Raphael, the sun is rising. Behind Raphael. It's like 6:30 in the morning. And the moon is behind him. Raphael is full buck naked doing yoga on top of this VW bus parked in sight of 1,000 other cars. And everyone is like rousing for the morning. And he's like doing yoga.
Sun salutation.
Yes. And Danny's like, is he okay? And I'm like, I look at Danny. I go, he's fine.
That's perfect. That's normal.
That's if he's perfectly okay. Yes. Actually, that's the indication that he's okay. Yes. His wing wings facing the sun. His dick is out. He's fine. What are you talking about? This guy's great. He's good. He's wonderful. Raphael takes notice to Danny and I, you know, a couple of yards away or whatever it is. Hey, brothers, good morning. Yes. Salutations and greetings, you know. Namaste. You want some coffee? Do I want some coffee? Could you wash your hands?
Oh, my God.
Could you wash your hands?
Yeah.
His ass was full bore. I mean, hairy ass and everything.
I mean, he's known for his nakedness. Drum circles.
Yes.
Parties in the woods, wherever.
Listen,
I admire that confidence.
I admire it too, and I got a little taste of it. Listen, I wore a kilt around for 3 days one time at a party in the woods, and sometimes I would take it off. Uh-huh. There's just like there's certain situations where nudity becomes like it's ubiquitous with just being the way that you are, being who you are, and that happens when a lot of people are naked. You start, and they are not shying away from the nudity. And there's a lot of love in the air and probably drugs and alcohol, then you start to understand that it's not that big of a deal. So I've been there. Listen, Raphael and I, one time when you and I were in Costa Rica, after you left, Raphael and I got blitzed one night. We were up all night long. I won't explain why, but we were up all night long. Yeah. And we went, he had this huge property in Costa Rica that
he
like,
did. We went foraging for mushrooms.
That's right.
One morning, the two of us, Rafa and I.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah.
So we're up at the top of this hill and, you know, we're sitting there having a conversation, a deep conversation about something. And then I'm just kind of blitzed. I'm out of my mind. So I'm sitting there smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer, whatever. And a couple minutes later, I look back and Raphael's naked doing yoga. So you know what? I got naked and I did yoga.
Yeah,
what are we going to do?
Exactly.
Like, okay, all right, that looks good. I like that. And, you know, nude yoga is, it's like.
I've done nude yoga before by myself.
Yeah.
Not in the studio.
Yes. I've seen videos of it, but I'm pretty sure that the videos were not to teach other people how to do nude yoga.
Yeah.
It was to teach guys how to whack off. You know what I'm saying? Right. It was like.
There's nothing wrong with it. If people want to go do it. I'm all for it. I don't know that I specifically want to see.
Paying for it. I don't understand.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're going to strip yourself down of all worldly possessions.
10-pack of glasses.
Yeah, and then you're going to do $35.95 per class. Right? And you know the yoga instructor is so much hotter than you are. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go to a class where some fucking buffed up dude is doing naked yoga and Astrid's like, I'll face this way.
Right.
You face that way. No.
Yes.
Yeah, naked yoga. Listen, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. And I also think that as a society, we are going fucking crazy. So this just makes a lot of sense.
That's what I texted you. I was like, maybe this is what the world needs.
What the world needs now is how now, brown cow? Let's look at your shiny starfish. It's like a nude beach. You know, you go to a nude beach, like you go to Spain, and they just aren't that plussed about clothing over there.
Yeah.
You know, they don't care. You're going to see tatas everywhere. You're going to see tits everywhere on the beach. But they're not going to discriminate. When you think, yes, there are beautiful women who are nude or topless on the beach. There's young, beautiful girls. There's middle-aged, beautiful girls. But there are also people that, you know, just regular-bodied people like me. Yeah, you wouldn't want to see me naked on the beach. I look great in clothing. I look great in clothing. I look skinny. I look svelte. You take off my clothes, and it's a different story altogether.
Bits and bobs are out.
That's right. I got the titties. I got the man bod. I'm going. I got no ass. I got hair everywhere. I'm not a good-looking guy naked. So I choose not to get naked. But there's, like, you go over to Spain, and this thing, everyone is everywhere.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, people think of a nude beach and they think of like a hyper-sexualized, super hot women, just, you know, super hot dudes just walking all over the place. That is not a reality. Mm-mm. And it's not going to be a reality at your nude yoga class either.
No.
So if you're thinking this is a place to go so that you can find the next date, you just remember, these are going to be regular human beings that are choosing to take off their
sampling
clothes.
Sampling of the society.
Yes. A sampling usually of, listen, if you're super hot naked, you can get paid to do that. So you're not going to show up at free yoga class and do that for free. You're not.
That's true.
Do you know what I'm saying?
You're going to monetize.
You're going to monetize that, as I would too. Uh-huh. I look at all these people on OnlyFans and all this other shit, and I go, God bless you.
I know.
God bless you.
That OnlyFans is killing it.
I should have done that. I think to myself, I should have done that when I was 20 years old.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, but then I think it looked no different at 20 than it does now. It really didn't. My penis size didn't change in my 20s. So anyway, nude yoga is a thing you can get on it with $1.99. USD. He'd pay $1.99. Nice. All right. Lots of people in the chat. Thank you very much. Welcome back. Season number 7 of the commercial break. We're happy that you're here. I'll refresh some of the minutiae that we talked about last episode. And I want to just apologize. The last episode, if you listen to it on audio, it sounded kind of tinty because I forgot to hit record. So I had to take the stream version.
Old habits die hard.
Old habits die hard. I pressed record this time. Chrissy and I are moving into season number 7 with our eyes wide open and being flexible about everything. So we are going to be a little less regimented about everything. Tuesdays and Thursdays, we know we're going to be here doing streams. At least Wednesdays and Fridays, you're going to get episodes on the RSS feed or the podcast audio version of this. But you may also get 3 episodes, and maybe you'll get 4 some weeks.
Yeah.
So surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Just like seeing me naked at yoga. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise. Yeah.
Sometimes some people are going to think it's great, and other people are going to go, that's too much. That's too much, Brian. So let's do this. Let's take a short break. I want to talk about other podcasters,
okay,
and a story that's going around that is loosely connected to you and I, and I'll explain.
Oh yeah, that's
how. And then I also want to talk about a blind date that I've been set up on this weekend.
What?
Yeah, by my wife. Oh, it's really weird.
Okay, right. I can't wait.
I know. Well, if I can find the commercials, I think last time I just played a bunch of sound effects.
You did.
I did.
It was the John Popper.
Yeah, John Popper.
Paw.
Yeah. There you go. There's a skinny pawpaw pauper. We'll be back.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
Hey, Tag team, back again to check it, check it. Let's begin.
Party on, party people. Let me hear some noise. DZ's in the house. Jump, jump for Joyce.
Whoa! All right. I didn't know you were going to go that far with
that
it. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
look at you.
Jamming out with
great
our friends
memory.
To that.
I forgot. I remembered one line. All right. Hi, everybody in the chat. I love you, too. We love you, too. Thank you very much. Gracias, gracias. Yes. Welcome aboard. Pretty soon, we actually have the ability now, but I'm going to wait until we start publicizing a little bit more that we're going to be streaming. I'm waiting. We got to get our feet under us a little bit. But so thank you to those who are in the stream right now. We got to get our sea legs. And then I'm going to start using the ability to have you FaceTime in, like a FaceTime, into the show, and we'll get you on board, and you can
our world.
Yeah, you can come into our world. That's really what I want. I want engagement. That's what I want. I'm getting some of that on my Instagram right now, and I'm realizing that's where the fun is. The fun is in having the conversation outside the room, because after 900 episodes, we've had the conversation inside the room. We did it.
We did.
After 1,000 hours, I think Chrissy and I know what we're talking about. We got it. All right.
In addition, before we did the podcast, we were just doing the same
thing. Yeah, we've been friends for 20 years. It's like, we got it. We know. We talk on the phone. We text all the time. We're okay. We're fine. We can invite somebody
else. Let's invite some other people.
Yeah, and not famous people. And here's why I say that this whole podcast. Let me explain. Ari Shaffir has been a guest on our show. Bert Kreischer has not been a guest on our show. I think there was some talk about it at some point, but it never really came to fruition for one reason or the other. But Bert Kreischer, of course, is one very famous comedian who has a number of podcasts on YMH, the network, I think. And he has one with Tom Segura, and they do Two Bears, One Cave.
That's right.
But Bert has his own podcast also. He does it out of his home. And Ari Shaffir, former guest of ours, has been – they're all friends. They're friendly. And they're friendly with Joe Rogan. And so they have appeared on Rogan together and separately. Now, Ari came on our show, and we had a great time with Ari.
He was a lot of fun. I've thought about him since.
Yeah.
And the story that he told about his other person that was on his podcast that went around the world on the National Geographic plane.
Oh, yeah.
I listened to that episode, and it was so funny.
Ari's got
he
a great show.
Yeah.
He's got a great show. It's a good angle. You know, when you look at that YMH crew, there's a lot of podcasts now that are on there, and it's typically the same, like everybody interviews the same people. Uh-huh. It's the same stories. It's generally the same thing. That's the problem with podcasts. And part of the challenge with doing interviews is that someone comes here, but they've also been 10 other places too. So it's kind of like, what are we going to do that's any different than somebody else? We're not Howard Stern. We can't spend 3 hours with somebody breaking down their entire life. We just don't have that kind of credibility, to be honest with you. So Ari comes on our show and whatever. He kindly invites us to his show a couple of weeks later, and Chrissy, I, Raphael,
Jeff,
Tina, and Tina's husband, Mike, we all go to the Ari Shaffir show. It was great.
It was
hilarious.
It was a lot of fun.
He was on stage for like 2.5 hours. It was a long show. He did a lot of comedy, and we were there late. And Ari is mainly a storyteller. He tells stories that have punchlines. He is not a very politically correct comic, but he was a lot of fun, and he was very good at what he did. I found it to be a very funny show.
I did too. I had a lot of fun.
I give him a lot of credit for what he does, and he commands the audience, and he did a great job. But at the end, when we felt like it was being wrapped up, he told an additional 15 to 20 minute story, and let me break it down. Now, this is Ari's story. You can go find it in many places. This is not a secret. But Ari told a story inside on the stage. He told a story about how he had been invited onto Bert Kreischer's podcast and went over to Bert's house to do the podcast. And they were, this is additional context he didn't give us then, but I now know. They were in the middle of something called Sober October, which Joe Rogan coined because he wanted to see if Bert Kreischer could stay sober for an entire month.
Uh-huh.
In case you don't know, Bert Kreischer is a big drinker.
Mm-hmm.
I think even a self-proclaimed, maybe alcoholic. He drinks a ton. That's his whole shtick. He goes out, he gets drunk, he drinks, 12, 13, 14 drinks a night by his own admission. A lot of alcohol. They're going to do Sober October. They're in the middle of Sober October. And Ari is angry about having to do Sober October. He agreed to it. Now he's angry about it. So even though they're in Sober October, he goes over to Bert's house to do this podcast. And they agree they're going to do one slug of whiskey before they get on
the
microphone. Ari says, I'll put the drinks together. Bert leaves the bar he has in his garage. And Ari takes a capsule of pure Molly, MDMA, out of his pocket, and he puts it in Bert's drink. They then slug the whiskey, and 30 minutes later, they start the podcast. And of course, they are flying.
Yeah.
Now, Ari admits to Bert.
Which again, I don't know how he did not taste that. It
has I don't know either. You're taste. Right about this. Like, cocaine has the taste of ethanol, like almost like gasoline a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's not I don't want to say it's not a particularly unpleasant taste if you know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah.
You can deal with it, right? Although it does make a lot of people gag.
Well, right.
But, okay, whatever. You know what I'm saying. All right. Molly, not a pleasant taste.
No.
Nothing about it is pleasant. It's like mushrooms. Not a pleasant taste. Nothing pleasant about it. But Bert has said, I've never done it before,
right,
so I don't know. And I guess if you don't know, you don't know. You don't know what you're getting yourself into. Okay. So they do the show. Ari goes on to admit that he had spiked Bert's drink, and they do this podcast episode. Then Bert has to fly out at 12:30 to start his tour. And it's only 7 o'clock when they end the show. He's at home with his two children, children, and his wife.
Right. Yeah.
And he is freaking the fuck out because he is high as a kite.
Yeah.
And he is rolling hard, and he doesn't know what is going on. And so you can go hear Bert tell this story on his own on Joe Rogan. And this has kind of popped back up either in my feed or because they're talking about it recently. But in the show, Ari explains that, you know, Bert went up. He was talking to his children. He had to like apologize to his wife.
It was a funny story.
Yeah, it was a funny story. And his wife basically blacklisted Ari. Not allowed anywhere near the family for a year or something, whatever it was, until Ari came and apologized profusely and blah, 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 blah. But Ari didn't seem super apologetic about any of this, right?
He thought it was funny.
He thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So I'm watching like all of the follow-up to this now, this story that we heard on stage that I didn't know about that now I'm hearing about on the thing.
Yeah.
And the episode apparently has not been released, the one that they did with Bert.
I was wondering. Yeah.
Because Bert is afraid that dumbasses will get the idea that it's okay to spike your buddy's drink.
They were probably just laughing the whole time.
They probably were. Well, even Bert admits, like, I was having a great time.
Yeah.
Like, I was having a great time in the moment. I'm smiling. I'm laughing. I'm having a good time because I'm fucking high.
Right.
You know, like, what else was I to do? Like, Molly feels good. I felt good. But it brought up, like, this interesting question in my mind because when they're on Rogan and they're all talking about this. Rogan and Tom Segura are there too, kind of learning about this for the first time. They both seem very concerned about the fact that Ari would spike somebody's drink.
Yeah, I mean, it is concerning.
It's very concerning.
Yeah.
It's very concerning.
Yes.
And now I think about it, I'm laughing at this story because it is a funny story, right? When he tells it, it's funny.
Funny.
When
story,
Ari tells it, it's funny. Yeah. But it's coming from the guy who spiked everybody's drink, right? I think to myself, holy shit. I have been spiked before. I've had my drink drugged. I think I was drugged one time, like really drugged one time. And I think that holy shit.
Yeah.
That's not
it's
good.
Serious.
Yeah. Even with your best friend, it's not good.
Yes.
Even if you think it's going to be funny, it's not good. If someone doesn't know what's coming.
There's a trust factor that's going on. I mean.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There was a guy that I knew when I worked at a small startup company, and he was Ari Shaffir. He was the guy who LSD, Molly, Coke, drinking. It didn't matter. This guy was like Hunter S. Thompson level drugs, right? He did it all.
Up for it all.
Up for it all. Did it all. Came into work on it. Everybody knew it. He was unapologetic about it, but he got his work done. So everybody kind of just dealt with him. Right?
He's functioning.
Yeah. When you work at a startup, one leg falls over and everybody goes crashing down. So you go, oh, he's on LSD. Well, it's a Tuesday. I guess that makes sense. But there was we all had kind of this understanding that when you went out with this guy, you watched.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Very much so. You had to be mindful of your drink. You had to be mindful of what was happening because he was known to send people into outer space without telling them. And I think to myself now, after I'm listening to this with some perspective as an old man, that's fucked up.
It is.
You could kill somebody. You could kill somebody, or at the very least, send them into a really deep, dark hole.
It's not nice.
No, it's not nice.
It's not nice.
I went to a party in the woods, same kind of group of people I'm talking about with Ralph and Chelsea. Big party in the woods. And I think I've told the story before. At the end of the night, there's a huge bonfire, drum circle, 100 people, all with drums around, people dancing in the middle.
Nakedness was absolutely happening.
Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Titties, tatas, wing wings, they're all flying everywhere. Mm-hmm. Not everybody, but some people, right? I mean, usually the people who are better looking. Yeah. Let's be honest about it, right? This is their moment to shine.
Right.
And they did. Because everyone was watching them dance, all high and fucked up. And there was a girl who was dancing around the fire. Beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. That a lot of people, men and women, were always like, oh.
Right.
Yeah, I won't say her name.
Yeah, yeah.
But she was dancing around. I was playing the drums with Raphael next to me. I was just drinking. Uh-huh. That's it. Because I, at that time, was not doing drugs. Like, I just, it kind of phased its way out of my life. And she has this jar of liquid around her neck, and I can see her taking a sip every once in a blue moon, and then I see her at times handing it to other, like this jar, it's like a mason jar, a small mason jar, it looks like water, right? And I'm drumming and everyone's sweating. It's moon juice. That's exactly what it is, moon juice. And at some point I get up, I put the drum down, I start dancing, and I'm dancing around and with her, and she says, do you want a drink? And I said, yes. And she stops and she opens up the mason jar.
Yeah.
And I drink. I honest to God thought it was water. I thought it was water. Only hours later did I realize that it wasn't water when I was fucking flying. And it took me a while to recognize, because I had been drinking all night long.
Yeah, yeah.
It took me a while to recognize what was going on. But that is what was going on. And I enjoyed the moment.
Yeah.
But days later, I thought to myself, that's kind of fucked up. Like, you got to give a brother a warning.
Right.
You know?
Right. I guess she just thought you knew.
I guess she could make the assumption that if you're at the party in the woods, the mason jar hanging around my neck is not water. You don't carry your water around in a mason jar hanging around your neck in between your naked titties.
There was a special.
While you're dancing in the 100-person drum circle with a bonfire behind you. It's like something straight out of the movie The Doors. Here's Brian.
Yeah, one could infer.
One could conclude reasonably. Yes, it's not water. But hey, listen, I was young and I didn't know what was going on. But, you know, the night ended up okay. I ended up safe. I was honestly, they had like secure, they had a farmhouse.
There's also a difference between someone slipping something in your drink, like in that situation.
I agree.
Versus in your home with your wife and children upstairs.
I agree. At the party in the woods. It's expected.
Yeah.
It's accepted.
Mm-hmm.
There are safety measures in place.
Right.
And by that, I mean like legitimate paramedics in the community that are hanging out waiting for anything bad to happen. And sometimes it does, you know, and they do their thing. There were precautions taken, as well as 1,000 other people who understand what it's like
mindset,
to be fucked up.
Right. The mindset. Yes.
If someone came into my home and dropped something in my drink.
Yeah. I say I'm out one day. Somebody came over to fill in.
Yeah. Tina. I know it would be you. Yeah. Tina.
Yeah. And the next thing you know, you're fucked up.
Yeah.
Kids are here. Astrid's here.
No.
I mean.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's not cool.
That's why when I went to do the mushroom ceremony.
Yes.
With the high priestess.
Mm-hmm.
I came home very late. And I came home, I waited until I was absolutely ready to try. But then again, I was not like, this was not that. I was not like, oh.
Not right.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it was a very light situation. But I agree with you. If someone came in and did that to me, I would, I'd be panicking probably, I would be fucking pissed.
Yeah.
I would be really pissed. And Astrid would be double pissed. So I can understand why Bert Kreischer's wife is a little skeptical of Ari's apology because, you know, and listen, we like Ari. I'm not saying that Ari's a bad guy. I think Ari was misguided in that moment. I think he was going to have
fun. It's between them, obviously.
Yeah,
but
sure. Yeah. But I mean, it's out there, so why not make a judgment? But, it's not like they're not talking about it. It's not like some secret Ari told us and I'm letting it out of the bag.
Secret at the comedy show.
Yeah, secret at the comedy show. in front of a thousand other people. That's
part
right.
of his act.
Yes. And actually, my blind date is at a comedy show also.
I can't wait to hear about
that. Okay. All right. Let's do this. Let's take a short break. And when we get back, I'll tell you about my boy blind date that I'm going on.
Okay.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of The Commercial Break.
Astrid has made a friend, and she's made a friend, and this lady is very nice. Like, I like the lady too. She's a very cool lady.
Yeah.
Like, perfect.
Astrid made a friend. I love it.
I love it too. I mean, Astrid had lots of friends, but she made a new friend.
Yes,
right? And I say new friend like over the last year or so. Okay.
That's always nice.
And they've gotten really close, mm-hmm. and I appreciate what's going on here. I like I think it's healthy when two people in a relationship are healthy inside and outside the relationship.
100%.
Love it. Yeah. All about it. And I love the woman, so mm-hmm. I'm all about it twice. I'm like, yeah, and I like her too. But the husbands have not met yet.
Oh.
And so husbands, like, oh, okay, cool. Our wives are friends. Yeah, it's cool, dude. We can hang out with each other. Yeah, whatever. I mean, whatever the dude is all about, I'm all about it. I mean, I can get along with a fucking rock. It's not hard for me to get along with people. And I mean, you have to be a real fucking nudnik for me not to get along with you. And that's just the way that I am. And when I
too.
Yeah, you too. Yeah. A lot of the people that we know.
Right.
Like, we're not fussy people, mm-hmm. right? We're pretty easy to get along with. So for a couple of months, there's been an attempt to get everybody together, but usually it's just the girls go out for whatever reason, because we have kids and somebody's got to have a babysitter, the whole thing. That's just minutia. So last week, I'm in the bathroom. Astrid's going to take a shower and brush my teeth, doing whatever. And Astrid says, okay, we're going to go out with this lady and her husband.
Yeah.
You guys have to get along. And I'm like, what? And she's like, you have to get along. Like, there's no choice. You have really got to make an effort to get along with this guy. And I'm like, are you setting us up on a blind date? And she's like, I just want everything to go well. Like, she's all fussy about it. And I'm like, why would you think that anything? Right. Now you're making it weird. Now it's weird.
You weren't even thinking about it.
I would have never thought about this at all. I would have literally thought about it 12 minutes before we showed up to wherever we're going, right? Which happens to be a comedy show. I would have thought about it 12 minutes before wherever we're going is wherever we're going. Why is it weird? Why do you have to make it weird? And I'm not trying to make it weird. I'm not trying to make it weird. I just want to make sure that you two get along. And I'm like, we'll get along. But now that you told us we have to get along, now we're not going to get along. Now everything's going to go sideways. I got to put the good perfume on. What do you want me to do? Do you need me to shave?
Come out with your best.
You got to understand it doesn't work like that for guys. I can understand it might work like that sometimes for women, right? Is that their personalities and their peculiarities and sometimes, you know, whatever. Listen, there's lots of guy friends that I probably have where Astrid thinks the wives are like, whatever, you know? Okay. I don't act like that. I don't work like that. I will get along with whoever because I want your relationship to be fine. We aren't going to be WhatsApping each other. I'm not going to be judging his clothing.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about, you know, I'm not worried about what he drinks or, you know, what his house looks like. I don't give a shit. The guy is a guy. Yeah. He's a guy. Okay. He's a dude. Is he breathing? Can he talk? If he can talk, she's like, that's not what I'm saying. I just want to make sure everything goes right. And I'm like, oh my God, you're setting us up on a blind date.
Have there been times when it hasn't gone right?
No. But but a little clarification to defend Astrid a little bit. There are friends that she has had, where the husbands are not my favorite people in right. the world, right? Mm-hmm. But I have never once made a deal about it.
Well, I was going to say that almost could usually be the case of like,
sure.
you know, you're just not going to automatically want a foursome every time. Everybody loves
yes.
each other.
You roll the dice on mm-hmm. personalities, right? Maybe yeah. we get along for the sake of getting along.
Well, yeah, at dinner.
Maybe
yeah. Great.
Maybe we're like best buds immediately. Maybe mm-hmm. everything goes swimmingly. Right? If the guy doesn't kick me in the fucking nuts,
yeah.
then I don't imagine we're not going to get along. Not to mention, it's not a big deal, but we're making it a big, now you're making it a big deal. Now I got a lot of pressure on me to like perform or something. I have performance anxiety about this. Now I feel like I got to be something to this guy. Like we had to be, you know, I don't know. We have to text each other and stuff. Guys don't do that.
I think they both just really want you two to like be like really like each other too. And then that way you can do stuff.
That's
as,
right.
You know,
yeah, as a couple, uh-huh. we can go on vacation. They're imagining right. that, you know, we're yes. going to buy real estate together
yes.
in some far flung location.
Share.
Yeah. And him and I are going to be sharing a bed or something. Yeah. I don't know what's
going
on.
You're going to be playing golf with him while they're shopping.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing.
We're going to be hugging and drinking whiskey at 3 a.m. You know, that's like moonshot type stuff. It doesn't happen like that.
Yeah.
Like we have some friends, we have some friends that we've been out with a couple times. I love them, right? I love the woman
yeah.
and I like the guy too. And I said to Astrid after one time we went out, I said, I could see all the families going on a vacation together,
yeah.
right? And she was like, really? And I said, yeah. And she goes, oh, I didn't think you liked him that much. And I was like, well, I don't have to be in love with the guy. I don't have to, we don't have to kiss. I mean, we don't have to kiss goodbye. It's not like that. I'm just sharing with you that, you know, families with kids, sometimes it's hard to get the right mix. And these are cool people. And, you know,
yeah.
I could see us, you know, taking a
little vacay together.
A dip out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that Astrid wants that same reaction.
Okay.
From this particular interaction. So I'm going to have to follow up with you guys and let you know. Of course, he'll be listening. And then it'll be, now it's twice as weird because everyone's listening to me talk about it on the commercial break.
I think you go in low. Go in with
low expectations.
Low expectations is always the way to go.
It's a blind
things.
Date. Yes. This is exactly the way I would think about a blind date.
Yes. Go in yes. with low expectations, and then that's how you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
I think everything's going to be just fine. Can we hold a conversation
yeah.
for a couple of minutes? Do we all, we probably both now understand, because we've probably both been prepped by our wives.
Yes.
That it's important that we at least don't kill each other on the first day. We're not going to get into a fist fight. There's not going
like
to be a knife
strangling,
fight.
Strangling him.
Yeah.
Across
when
the
you're
table.
A jet, you're a jet all the way from your first cigarette to your last dying day. We're going to get in a knife fight at the bar with the comedy show.
Yeah.
Not going to be like that.
No,
everything's going to be
it's
fine.
It's going to be fine.
But if you expect us to be twiddling, you know, twatting each other immediately afterwards, had a great day, this guy, everything, heart emoji. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not going to happen like that.
Yeah.
Because I have been seeing my coffee boyfriend, Lance, for
a couple of years now, right?
No, not a couple of years. Probably a year.
Okay.
Okay. And now almost every morning we meet, almost every morning. When he's here in town, when I'm here in town.
Yeah.
We meet almost every morning. We make an effort to. We sit, we chat for 45 minutes to an hour. Just now am I getting to the point where I feel comfortable texting Lance
right.
about anything,
mm-hmm.
right? I sent him a picture of, you know, celebration on New Year's Eve. He sent me a picture
yeah,
of him
yeah.
hanging out wherever he's.
It takes a little while. It's like a little seed.
Yeah, it's not,
seed
you know.
Seed was planted, and then you have to have the sunshine and the water and make it grow.
Exactly. It needs a little cultivation, mm-hmm. and guys take a little extra cultivation
yeah.
to plant roots. It's just the way that we are. We are, and I am so much more like a woman than I ever have been like a man. But in this sense, with relationships with guys, I understand the pathology of it. And while I may feel like I want to, you know, you go on a first date, and it gets over with. And I've never been one of these guys, wait 3 days, right?
No.
I text right after the date.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
It's
hope we can see each other again, right? Or follow up with a little funny inside joke that happened, or wasn't that guy crazy or whatever, right? Guys' pathology doesn't work like that. We're not going to get done over the weekend and with our little thing, and then I'm going to be texting him. You know, you looked cute in those shoes. It's not
so great to meet you.
Yes, those pants are perfectly tailored.
Let's go out for beers next week, like
beers
we talked
next
about.
Week? That's right. Football tomorrow.
Right. Big game.
You want to do a little
over.
A little shopping? Tea at high noon? It's not going to happen. But with the Venezuelans especially, right? And now I know this of Astrid too. It's like she also takes a while to get warmed up in friendships. Also, that's the way that she is. But when she does, it's a textorama going on. Like
of
she's
course.
Texting this woman 24 fucking 7. I can barely get her attention anymore. She's like, I'm talking to blah, blah, blah. You used to talk to me.
Uh-huh.
But now that it's textorama, that's never going to happen. I don't do that with Raphael. I don't do it with Chrissy. I don't do it with Rachel. I don't do it with any of my very good friends. It's not textorama. I do that on Instagram. I text random strangers. About Venezuela.
I do that on Instagram.
I do that on Instagram. You want to get a hold of me? Follow.
Instagram.
Yeah. You want to get a hold of me? Follow me on Instagram. When you're a sycophant.
Anonymous. Perfect.
Anonymous, parasocial.
If I know you.
Yes. Anonymous, parasocial, completely unhealthy. That's the way I like to conduct my relationships. Period. The end. That's it.
Dive right in on the first.
I'll follow up with everybody.
Yes, please do.
It's gonna be fine.
And a comedy club is good. That loosens everybody up, and you're not, you know, having to talk too much.
Everyone is going to be fine.
Are you going to that new one that's up in Alpharetta?
No. Where are we? I don't know where we're going. Mm. No.
What's that one? Helium or something that opened up?
Yeah, Helium is up there, and they're having some big names up there. The Helium Comedy Club. They've had some big people.
Like,
I think Nacho Red is going to be up there. There were some big people I saw coming there, and they're opening a new one near Ponce City Market. Oh, they are?
At the City Winery.
The Helium.
No, different. It's different, Laughing Skull Guy.
Oh, the Laughing Skull Guy is going to open up a new comedy.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Comedy here in Atlanta is taking off. Mm-hmm. I mean...
Everybody needs to laugh.
Everybody needs to laugh. We've had that punchline here forever. Mm-hmm. There was a punchline down on Roswell Road.
Yes.
The real estate got really expensive. It moved into a diner.
Yeah.
And I forgot which comedian I was seeing recently. Was it Tom Papa, I think, maybe?
Okay.
And he said, you know, last time I was here, I played the punchline. You know, nothing like playing a diner. It's literally in the back of a diner.
I didn't realize it moved to a diner.
It moved to the diner. Mm. But apparently, and listen, I've been there a couple times too. It's a very small room, probably fits like 300 people, 200 maybe. It's a very small room, but then there's some big names that have played there. Mm-hmm. Also, the Punchline, of course, has a very famous name. Now, here's one last note about all of this podcast universe, Joe Rogan shit. That's really interesting.
Okay.
Over the holiday, and then we'll wrap this up. Over the holiday, Joe Rogan and his comedy mothership posted a, I guess, reel is what you would call it, post reel, saying from the Comedy Store and from the comedy mothership, Happy New Year and, you know, happy holidays to everyone. And so everyone was wondering, like, did Joe Rogan buy the Comedy Store?
Oh, the one in L.A.?
Yeah, the one in L.A., the very famous one that Mitzi owned for a while. Now Pauly is in charge of it. But why was he... Why were both of these clubs doing a post together? And I don't know the answer to that. I Googled it. I looked.
I wish
I knew the answer to that. I don't really know. But,
we'll
you know, it's
out.
Very interesting if Joe Rogan now owns or his company now owns the Comedy Store. I haven't been
That would be a good business move.
Sure. He owns the Comedy Mothership, which apparently does very well in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the Comedy Store is legendary.
Yeah.
And I follow the Comedy Store, and you can go there on a Tuesday night and like Bill Burr do an hour.
Oh, I'm sure.
Randomly.
Right.
Right.
That's where people. Yeah. Famous people.
They go to work it out.
They
go to work it out there. So, you know, that's like legendary. And they apparently have multiple rooms and like the up room and the down room. I don't know. I've never been there.
I haven't either.
I don't know. We were supposed to go there one time with Brian Moses, but we decided smartly against it, I think. Didn't Brian Moses invite us to do something at the one in San Diego?
Right.
Yeah. He was going to have us down in the San Diego.
That was the roast. roasting.
He was going to have us do a roast.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think they're getting ready to do like season number three of those roasts or something. I hope Brian is doing well.
Yeah.
You know, he was part of that Kill Tony ilk, and then they kind of split off for whatever reason, and now he's doing that. But, you know, I like Brian. He was a lot of fun. I loved having him on, and he was very gracious to invite us. But then I had surgery.
Well, right.
And so we couldn't make it because he wanted us to be there the weekend after I had surgery, and it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, all right. So Happy New Year.
Happy New Year,
everybody. Thank you for joining us on season number 7. We'll be back next Tuesday. Here, same place, same bat time, same bat channel.
We think.
We'll try. We'll do our best.
Yeah.
We'll
try to think about it.
Yeah. And if you want to get involved, you can go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, restream.io, or Twitch, any of those places, and find us. And then you can also jump in the chat. We'll be happy to answer questions. And soon we'll let you jump into the conversation via audio and video. What do you think?
I think we should do it.
I like it. What are you doing this weekend?
You know, no plans. It's supposed to rain really hard on Saturday.
Oh, it is?
I think Jeff and I were saying we could just have that day to decompress.
Noemi's making chili. Mm-hmm. It'll last for 5 days around here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got extra people in the house, so maybe 3 days. But that chili, it gets better every day.
It does.
It gets
there
better
are some
every
foods
day.
Like that. Like a good spaghetti sauce does the same thing, too.
I love fucking chili. Mm-hmm. I have become such a chili. My dad used to
I
make a killer chili. But as a kid, for some reason, I just didn't like it. Maybe because my dad and I didn't like each other, and so I didn't like what he was making. But now I have become the biggest chili
fan.
We
should have a chili cookie. Do you cook it?
I cook it? I don't cook anything.
I was going to say we should have a chili cooking day because my brother-in-law is a big chili cooking master.
Oh, yeah.
And he said he gave me the recipe. I'm dying to try it.
I would love that. Mm-hmm. Next week, we'll talk about our trip down to Gulf Shores, all the stuff that happened, our trip to Houston, all the big stuff that happened, lots of funny stuff to tell you there. And then I will share with you now, because I won't tell, maybe I'll tell the story then, is that I cooked my very first egg that was not scrambled for my daughter on Astrid's birthday. I gave her a little break. The kids were going hungry. She was sleeping, and I was like, I don't know what to do.
What style was it?
Sunny side up.
Sunny side up.
Sunny side up. Sunny side up.
Well, that's perfect. Yeah, you should definitely have that in your recipe box.
I had no idea how to do this.
Okay.
And my son said, there is a Peppa Pig episode about sunny side up eggs.
Uh-huh.
And I said, thanks, kid, but I don't think Peppa Pig is going to be teaching me about how to cook a sunny side up egg. And it did,
Cue to you watching it.
Cue to me watching Peppa Pig. And I followed the instructions to the T, and it worked.
Yeah.
And my daughter said, it's good egg, Dad. And I said, well,
good job.
You're a good egg too, kid.
I love it.
All right. And I love you. And I love you. And everybody loves everybody. Hey, we're all going to get through this.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath. We got to rev down a little bit. Everybody needs to rev down a little bit. So our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers go out to this woman.
The world?
The world. Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, the world, but especially to this woman in
family,
Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is terrible.
It's awful.
Terrible news. Terrible news. And the people of Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to them. Let's respect their objectives. What's done is done. Let's get behind bringing back democracy to Venezuela, please. I know the people who listen to this show understand, but, you know, if I change one mind, I've done it. If I change one mind, you know. Bye. See you later. Whoever sounded that. Bye. So we'll be back next Tuesday, 1 o'clock, next Thursday, 1 o'clock, Wednesday and Friday, at least episodes. We might start running some TCB classics on Friday, so pay attention to that. And maybe next Tuesday I'll throw out one of our last interviews.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that. We talked with the very lovely
Jeff Hiller.
Jeff Hiller.
Yes.
There you go. Jeff Hiller was lovely. From So what's the show?
Somebody Somewhere.
Somebody Somewhere on HBO. Mm-hmm. Emmy Award winner, Jeff Hiller. That's a first.
Emmy Award winner.
Emmy Award winner.
He's having a huge moment right now. I hope it continues. He's a really fun guy to talk to.
We had a lot of fun talking to the guy. I don't think we talked much about anything he wanted to talk about, but we had fun talking.
He seemed to be up for whatever.
Yeah, he was just having a good time. We were just all having a good time.
Yeah.
Jeff Hiller, maybe we'll drop that episode on Tuesday. So stay tuned. The schedule is flexible. We know Wednesdays and Fridays, at the very least, you'll get an episode of the commercial break, but probably more. So stay tuned. It's going to be a fun season 7. Okay. You can check us out at The Commercial Break on Instagram. Do me a favor. If you want to get a hold of us, DM us there. If you have the phone number, great. You can still use it, but DM us because I can check Instagram from anywhere and respond to you.
And you're always checking Instagram now.
Always
yeah,
checking
you're
Instagram.
Always on there now.
It's very important. A whole of Venezuela is waiting for what Ryan has to say.
Yes.
TCBpodcast.com. Free sticker. Go to the drop-down menu. And, of course, live on YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak. All the episodes, audio and video, right there. Okay, I guess that's all I can do for today.
I think so. I'll
tell you that I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.